When we choose love and compassion, we create connection. In my Life and Laughter podcast, we find ways to choose love over fear. I'm your host, Perry Kinder. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to my Life and Laughter podcast. This is Perry Kinder, host of the podcast and soon to be guest on the podcast, because today I have my husband is joining me again. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Perry.
Tom Haraldson. He was on my first episode. He was on my 50th episode. He was supposed to be on my 100th episode, but I didn't invite him to that one. So
the magic is gone.
The magic is gone. So now it's the 100 and I believe the 104th episode. No. So I just missed it by 4 episodes.
Very close.
And what we're going to do today is I'm going to have Tom talk to me about, I don't know, life in general. And Roger's here if we need marriage counseling, if this, you know, devolves into a fight.
It's true.
He can referee or counsel depending on the situation.
That's why he has the fire hose.
The fire hose.
Yeah, it's good to know.
The batons. Yeah.
It's good to know.
So welcome back to my show.
Thank you.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. I'm very proud of you, by the way. 104 episodes of anything continuously over a couple of years. That's praiseworthy. Okay. A lot of people they give up on things. And I know this has been one of your dreams. Let me know when I have to stop praising. No, pull the cue card. No, just kidding.
So. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your support. You've always been very supportive of my crazy antics. So thank you so much.
It's in my contract, my marriage contract.
I keep showing that to you.
So let me ask you, and I know when you first started talking about this a couple of years ago, how did you get started in this?
In the podcast?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Our boss at the papers gave us a book called The 12-Week Year to Read, which I usually hate that kind of stuff. But I didn't pertain it to my job at all. That doesn't pertain to what I'm doing here. But I thought, because it gave you steps to create something that you want to do. And I wanted to create a podcast. And so I put that as one of my 12-week goals. And I made a list of all the ones I wanted to, you know, guest ideas, topic ideas. And then I called our friend Roger Tuttle, who is a genius at this kind of stuff.
At many things, I might add.
Yeah. And I said, hey, Roger, how would you like to help me with my podcast? And he said, absolutely. And here we are. And it's funny because you think you have to wait for the perfect time to start something new. And I thought, I've got to learn how to do podcasting. I have to learn how to do interviewing. I have to learn how to, you know, whatever. But I didn't. That's pretty obvious.
It's not true.
But you learn as you go. Yeah. But I just jumped in and I thought if I hadn't just jumped in and started it, I would have found all these reasons to put it off until I felt more qualified or felt more experienced. And I think we lose a lot of our lives by putting things off until we think we're ready for it.
Sure. There's never the wrong time to do the right thing.
Right.
As they say. That's brilliant. A cliche. Thank you very much. Podcasts. You must have listened to some before you started one. Who are some of your favorite podcasters?
I love listening to Malcolm Gladwell. His Revisionist History podcast is brilliant. He has the best researchers and it's presented in such an engaging way that I love listening to all of his podcasts. I suggest all my listeners listen to him. I love listening to Glennon Doyle. She started about the same time I did. You know what? It's funny though. She has like 10 million followers and I don't. So I'm doing something wrong.
Well, you're only off by like 99 million. Something like that.
But I listen to their podcast, her and her wife, Abby, and her sister, Amanda. It's always called We Can Do Hard Things. Talks about all the choices we make. I like what else do I listen to? I listen to an English, I guess, British English, whatever she is. The Law of Attraction changed my life because she's hilarious. She's just this single woman, single mother in England, and her adventures with manifesting and joy. And she's just hilarious. I love her.
Okay. So two-part question here. Okay. First of all, why a podcast? Why you thought that was a good way to communicate? And secondly, what was your goal? I mean, you must have had some intention when you decided to start the Life and Laughter podcast. So why podcast to begin with? And what were your goals?
Wow. You're a tough interviewer, Tom.
I am.
Podcast because that's the way people communicate now. Obviously, since there's millions of podcasts that are put out every year. But I was reading some statistics, which is a word I can't say.
Were those statistics by chance?
Maybe. That might be what I meant. And it said that very few people who start a podcast even get past 10 episodes. So when I hit 11 episodes, I thought, oh, yes, this is so cool. And then I hit 50 episodes. Like, oh, my gosh, then I can keep going. And anyway, that didn't really answer your question. So podcasting, because I think it's how people listen to information now. whether it's YouTube podcasts or, you know, video, online, whatever podcasts, it's how we share information now. It used to be radio, maybe talk shows. And I think the podcasting world, you can really choose your niche. And there are so many different variations of podcasts and topics that you really can find your community. And I wanted to create a community around my message, which I started teaching in yoga. And I started teaching with my column, Life and Laughter. And I always share a message during class. The theme of the class is always tied into what we're doing and how we're experiencing that class. And I've had so many people come to me and say, you know, I really loved your message. You know, your class sucked, but your message was really, really, really good. And
Down dog was hard. Message was good.
Message was good. You made us stand in entry pose too long. And I started to think about just the messages that I'm giving. And the theme of my messages has always been a connection to love and a connection to each other, especially in yoga, because there's the energy there and we're working together and sweating together. And so as I was thinking about what my message is and thinking about the disconnection in our country, I really wanted to create a podcast that helps people move closer to each other, maybe closer to themselves, where we create more meaningful conversations and less shaming and less judgment. And hopefully with all the guests I've had, you know, my theme has been moving away from fear and toward love, or moving through fear to love and coming out the other side, feeling more connected to yourself and to your community.
You know, that's the beauty of the way you teach yoga as well as the way you do your podcast. Really the way you do everything. You're always sending messages of love and caring and concern and trying to get people to work together. I know that's one reason why, because I'm in your yoga class.
You know, again, you've been yoga. There for years.
It's in the marriage contract.
It is, but you still show up.
But, you know, the students who leave your class, aside from the physical health benefits of doing the things that they do with the poses and yoga, they leave enriched with their spiritual and their souls. And then that's really important. So podcasting by its nature is kind of fits our society that's busy, because you know, you may not have time to read a book. You may not have or take the time to read a book. You may not take the time to watch a TV show, but you can listen to a podcast when you're walking your dog, when you're putting on your makeup, when you're gardening. It's almost a passive thing. And yet it gets in there. The message gets in at the same time. So
yeah.
Podcasting is a pretty amazing way to communicate.
Yeah.
And to your point earlier, again, congratulations on making it past episode 10.
Thank you.
And all the way past episode 100.
I know. Super excited.
Pretty cool. You kind of touched on this already. Did you have a particular podcast goal in mind? I mean, besides communicating or connecting people, and has that evolved? Are you different in the way you talk with podcasts now, work with podcasts now, than you were, say, 2 years ago with episode one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the podcast has evolved. I was very, you know, the first few episodes, if you haven't listened to them, don't.
No, you don't. Need to listen to
no,
them.
No, you shouldn't.
Your guests on episode 1 and 50 were magnificent,
by the way.
That's
true. My first and 50th episode were pretty phenomenal.
That was me.
But I think I was trying so hard to be funny instead of engaging and instead of conversationalist, which is fine because I like humor. I hope humor is a part of what of everything I do. I think it's very valuable. I think I was trying a little bit too hard, and I was really nervous, you know, talking to people. I've interviewed people for decades as a reporter, but it was different to have this one-on-one conversation with them. And what's really surprised me is how open people have been about their experiences. You know, we had Randall Carlyle on the show talking about his alcoholism and how, you know, how it messed up his life. And now he's with the recovery program. He's a spokesperson and he does some great things in the community, but he was so open about his challenges. I talked with former Miss Murray, Stacy, I can't say her last name. Sorry, Stacy. Is it Van Roosendaal? Is that
sure.
Close?
Works for me.
About her suicidal ideation. And she was so vulnerable and open in those episodes. I think it allowed me to relax a little bit more. If these people are so willing to be open and talk about things that they're struggling with, I can be more present and I can be more deliberate in what I'm talking to them about. And I think it's evolved. I've learned to trust my own voice more. You know, when I started the podcast, I'd do every other week. I'd have a guest on every other week. And about 6 months of that, it was hard to get guests all the time, for one thing, because people are busy. I thought, I'll just do a solo episode and maybe I'll throw it out there. And I put out my first solo episode in January of 2021, I believe. No, 2022. Yeah. And it was okay. I mean, it wasn't earth-shattering and it was terrifying. And I thought, no one's going to listen to this. And, you know, luckily Roger made me sound good. So even if the content was crappy, it sounded good. So, and going from that one to, I do a lot more solo episodes. I'd love to have a guest every other week, but it's hard to get guests all the time. And I've learned to fill those gaps with solo episodes. And I've learned to trust what I'm saying and to trust that it's valuable to people. And I love it when people say to me, whether in my yoga class or from my podcast, they say, you know, I hear your voice in my head. It's like, is that a good thing? I don't know if that's a good thing or not, hopefully they mean it well.
Well, you know, again, the thing about podcasting is, like right now, we're sitting across from each other in a studio. You're looking me in the eye. I'm looking you in the eye pretty much, except when I'm staring at my notes. But and it feels like you're talking to me. You're not talking to the masses. You're not sitting on top of a hillside with a megaphone, you know, preaching and everything else. And I think it's much easier to internalize and personalize the messages you give. I feel the same way in your yoga class. Even though you may have 30 or 40 students in a class, whenever you're talking, I feel like you're talking to me. Particularly when you're saying you're doing that wrong, please, no, she does not do that.
I don't say that.
There are no wrong poses in yoga.
Can't do yoga wrong.
Can't do yoga wrong. But, you know, I think that also is much more impactful than, you know, other ways of communicating. Now, that being said, I want to talk about your calm. I'm going to talk about your life coaching. We'll do a couple of those things a little bit later on. You already mentioned a couple of your memorable podcasts, Randall Carlisle and Stacey. Anything else come to mind? Anything else that resonates that you were particularly excited about or maybe surprised?
Good question, Tom.
Thank you.
That was a great question. And I'm stalling as I repeat that was such a good question.
You're doing it very well.
Thank you. Things that surprised me. You know, I think the willingness of people to come onto my podcast when they might just know me superficially, maybe they've seen my column or they've seen my social media pages. I reach out to people. I just kind of throw Hail Marys. It's like, hey, do you want to come be a guest? And rarely do I get a no. I mean, sometimes they can't do it when I need them, but I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me no.
I'm the only one you held at gunpoint.
Yes. Everybody else is very accommodating.
It's good to know. Good to know.
And so I've been surprised by the generosity of people who are willing to come and talk to me and share their stories and be open and vulnerable. And I really, really, really appreciate their presence in my podcast.
So I know you do life coaching. We've talked, you've probably talked about that. And that's always one-on-one. Do you think of the same skills that are involved in life coaching work when you're talking about doing a podcast or really when you're communicating with anybody, that one-on-one, that personal approach, you're not just cookie cutter throwing things out at them. You're molding whatever your reaction is to whatever their reaction is to the questions you ask. That's an important skill.
Yeah. And I think it's just learning how to listen, which, I mean, it's easy to be in the same room with somebody, but when you're talking to each other, it's harder to be present with that person and listen. And learning how to do that has been valuable. Learning maybe I don't need to talk all the time. I don't need to always interject into conversations to let just people share their thoughts. That's why they're there. They want to share their life experience, and I don't need to narrate that or validate that. I'm just here to listen. I don't know if I even answered the question.
Well, you think you did. So
I think I did. That's all that matters.
I think you did. So before there was life coaching, before there was a podcast, there was Life and Laughter column.
Yes.
Talk about how that came about and how you got started and where you've gone with that journey.
Yeah. I started writing my Life and Laughter column. And it was actually called Laughing at Life. It ran in the Magna Post. Pulitzer Prize winning, I'm sure.
I think Glennon Doyle's readership is, or listenership is a little bit higher than the readership for the Magna Post.
I don't know.
Which, by the way, is no longer in business.
I know. I probably ran out of business. But the publisher there was so gracious in letting me, I'd been writing for myself for a long time. And I finally approached him and gave him some column ideas. And he said, you know what, if you cover the Kearns beat, which is where I live, then we'll publish your column. And I actually published it twice a month. For about a year. And I loved it. It was just so much fun. And he was so wonderful. And then I got hired by the city journals, to write my column and cover beats there. And I changed it to Life and Laughter. And it's been so much fun. I've had a lot of feedback from people. Some people love it. Some people absolutely hate it. And it's really taught me to have a thick skin, but not in a thick skin in a way where I get defensive and kind of pull into my shell, which I tend to do if I really, really hurt. It's more of a, this person disagrees with me and that's okay. We don't have to agree with everybody. We don't have to all see the same thing all the time. And sometimes they're right. Sometimes, you know, my column really was terrible and they have a point. It's like, you're right. You know, right. I should burn that one and never let it see the light of day ever again. So I've done that for 20 years. After the first 10 years, as you know, I published a compilation of my columns, Life and Laughter.
Which we still have copies
in our closet if you'd like some. Yeah. And the goal is, because now I'm ending my 20th year, is to get another decade books.
Yeah, you should.
So, yeah, we'll see. It'll happen at some
point.
I
know, you may not know this, but you were actually, Life and Laughter was actually on the New York Times bestseller list.
It was on the Amazon Times.
My Amazon bestseller list.
Yeah.
It was like, what, $9.98 or something like that?
Like 1,500,000.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I was on the list, though.
Well, that's a big list.
It's a huge list. Well, but I was on the Amazon list of people who sell books.
How has that column changed? How have you morphed as a writer of that over the last 20 years?
When I first started writing, my kids were little and they were little demon shits. So I wrote about that a lot, about their, how they drove me crazy and how hard it is to be a mom and how hard it is to raise daughters and how hard it is to just survive sometimes when you're a stay-at-home mom with all your kids and their constant demands. And as they've gotten older, I wrote about them being teenagers and now they're mothers themselves, which is hilarious. And payback
karma.
In so many ways. Yeah. It's so much fun to sit back and watch my daughters be mothers. And I think it's more evolved into, I know you've always often said it's kind of, my columns have kind of softened a little bit. Is that the way you phrased it?
I think they are not, they're geared more towards societal issues and not away from humor.
Yeah. Well, they're still funny.
Well, I didn't say they weren't.
Well, you said they're geared away from humor.
Well, we aren't talking
Roger,
about.
Roger, do you want to step in?
He's over there. He's in the sound booth.
I think they're still funny. I don't think they're hilariously funny. I mean, Sometimes they are, but it's life and laughter. This is how we survive life. We have to laugh to get through it sometimes.
I think that's well put.
But yeah, I have tackled topics that makes my editor cringe, makes my publisher cringe. Gay marriage, pilgrims.
I was going to say there are pilgrims at the door waiting for you to finish right
some
now.
Some staunch pilgrim defenders in the state of Utah.
Who don't know
and
understand
don't
the history
hear,
of
yeah.
they don't understand the true history of pilgrims.
But. Yeah, and they don't want to understand it. Yeah. So I've had some really vehement comments, which is fine. Again, it's, you know, it's your point of view. It's how you were raised. It's how you see the world. But I think if I have a platform, I wrote a column about gun control that actually won an award, and I think about I have a platform here, and I believe in rights and equality and justice. And if I don't use my platform when I can to share views that might be divisive, I think I'm failing. I think I need to use that to make people think, maybe make them, maybe not change their mind, but give them a different perspective.
So let me share with you a personal Tom story, which you've probably heard 6,000 times, but your listeners have not. When I first started as a journalist, I wrote for a small paper in a small city in Utah. And I remember the first time I got a letter from someone, there were no emails. There were no phone calls.
Was it Pony Express?
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact. Right after Gutenberg invented the press, I had a job. And they said, what's this dirt? When was dirt invented? But anyway, he took exception to something I had written and didn't like it. And it wasn't an opinion column. It was just simply a report. But he thought I had put something in there that was subjective and he didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So I was crushed. 23 years old, went to my managing editor and I said, I don't know what to do with this. And I showed him the letter. And he says, well, let me ask you a question, Tom. Did he read your story? I said, well, yeah, he read it. That's why I liked it. He says, yeah, that's the point. He read it.
Yeah, exactly.
So when people read your columns, when people hear your podcast, when they've read your book, even if there's something there that they may not agree with or have a problem with, the fact of the matter is they read it. And that, as communications professionals, which we try to believe we are, is key. Get your message out there. And I love the fact that you don't want to, you're not trying to write to appease everybody because you can't.
Yeah, that's not possible.
There's nothing you can do that will please everybody. So Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What comes next? I mean, you've done the column, you're doing the column, you're doing these podcasts, you're going to keep doing them so I can be a guest in 2 years and Roger can see me again in 2 years. What else would you like to do?
With the podcast or just life in
just
general?
Just in general. I mean, let's talk about one thing we have not talked about were your seminars. You do live seminars. Talk about those a little bit.
For yoga?
When do you do live seminars for?
Okay. Well, laughter yoga. Yeah. My mental, it's like, what are you talking about?
I'm thinking
I do remember. Yoga. I do remember now. I teach yoga, laughter yoga seminars for usually for corporate businesses. And we just go in and laugh. And it's so fun to see these people who are very professional and very uptight and very not wanting to be there in that room at that time.
Suit and ties.
Yeah,
the whole
suit and tie. And they slowly loosen up over the hour of just the different laughter practices. I even had one person apologize to me. He said, you know, I didn't want to be here. I didn't think it was going to be fun, but I really enjoyed the workshop. So, you know, laughter usually wins people over. I mean, it's just silly. But that's a lot of fun. I'm doing my yoga teaching still. I love teaching yoga. It really keeps me grounded. Hopefully continuing with this podcast. I'd really like to grow the podcast. It hasn't grown as fast as I'd like it to, but if I waited for progress like that, I would have stopped a long time ago. But the people that listen, I think, are really, really devoted to listening to me every episode. And I super appreciate that. I don't have... You know, do I have tens of thousands of downloads every month? No. Do I have thousands every month? No. Do I have hundreds every month? Sometimes.
Yeah, you do. And you do, you know, I talk about this. You do have listeners in Germany, which I find very interesting.
Yeah. And you always tell me that you think my message is geared toward women. And I don't think it is. I think because I'm a woman, I'm coming from a woman's perspective. But yeah, 30% of my listeners are men.
Wow.
Which really surprises me.
That's good.
Yeah. And hopefully they're listening and thinking, wow, I need to stop being a male chauvinist and I should behave better. So if you're listening, men, behave better.
Or perhaps you're instilling them the reason why they are male chauvinists. So see, this is what I want to contend with.
If they didn't act like that, I wouldn't have to be a chauvinist.
That's not a problem. So you've kind of answered what else you'd like to do. But I mean, is there something that, aside from maybe doing more presentations and having tens of thousands of listeners and hundreds of millions of dollars flowing in to support
yes,
this?
Yes, that's my goal.
Give Roger a raise and those types of things. Is there anything else you'd like to do beyond what you're doing right now? What's the next step?
You know, I'm at a point here where I'm not sure where to go next. I love doing the podcast. I do wish I was reaching more people because I think the message of love and connection is so valuable today. And there are a lot of podcasts out there that teach that. And I think we could always have more. And again, it's finding the people that you want to hear and, you know, the subject matters you want to hear talked about. But I just want to continue this message. I think, you know, I started the podcast in 2021 after, you know, the year of COVID and just the insurrection and everybody was so mean. And then George Floyd. And I mean, just all of the horrible things that happened in that year of 2020. And so coming into my podcast in 2021, I really wanted to be a voice of reason and love and non-judgment. I can't say I've done that 100%. I try to be willing to hear other views, but I think I want to continue doing that, getting the message out more and really stressing the fact that the idea that we're separate is a lie. The idea that we are not the same people is a lie. We all want the same things. We all love. We all want our families to be happy and healthy. And I think the majority of people in this world are good people. Like 99% of the people in this world are good people and want what's best. And I just want to let them know that I see them, that I value what they do, and I value the loving energy they bring to this planet.
If people want to know more about what you do, this is a chance for you to plug your website here a little bit, but how can they find out more?
They can go to my website at perrykinder.com, or they can go to my social media pages at Life and Laughter Coaching on Facebook and Instagram. And, I don't know, send me an email. My email's everywhere. So, yeah, let me hear your ideas, either for podcasts or for columns or just your own experiences with your life. I love talking to people about the things they've learned and how they've learned them, how they've come to those lessons.
So let's go way, way back. Let's go back even to Magna Post time.
Oh, okay.
What was the feeling when you found out your opinion, your words, your writings were actually being published and disseminated out there to the public, albeit very small, beginning with the Magna Post? What was that feeling like when that first realization came around?
It was just exhilarating. It was so, you know, I'd grown up reading Irma Bombeck and reading columns in the newspapers when I was little. And their influence on my mom, you know, how much she loved reading funny things, had a big influence on what I do now. Seeing my mom laugh was just huge for me. And to know that people were reading my columns and enjoying them. It's funny, I went to Murray High School. I graduated from Murray High. And there was a student from Murray High maybe 10 years ago who reached out to me and said, I'm doing a report about you.
Really?
And I thought, what? Why?
Was it for a history class?
Not funny. Not funny, Tom.
I thought so.
It was for his English class.
Producer's laughing.
Well,
so
then you and Roger can just
yeah, there we go.
Leave.
Okay, yeah.
No, it was for English. And he said that his mother had read my columns as long as they'd been published and how much she loved them. And he wanted to talk about how I got into writing. And it was awesome that somebody had actually talked about me in a way that was not to say positive, because hopefully people talk about me in a positive way, no matter what I'm doing. But yeah, it really kind of hit home that, wow, people are really reading these columns.
Sure.
And then, yeah, it was a cool moment.
I will tell the listeners here that Perry and I have done some traveling together, and I'm trying to think of I know we one time hiked up behind Timpanogos and some woman
saw you by Stuart Falls
and talked about your column, but we were somewhere else where someone knew who you were and they said, you're Perry Kinder, you write that column, and we were not in a place where you would have thought that conversation would have come up.
Yeah. It's happened a few times.
It's always kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's always kind of a reality check that I had to be careful what I write because people are reading, and I don't want to throw out things that don't reflect what I believe and don't reflect what I'm trying to say. So I'm trying to be a little bit more conscious about what my words are. That's a poorly structured sentence.
We can work on that.
Yeah.
I'm a writer. I'll help you out with that.
And for those who correct my grammar in my columns, yeah, I know. I know. It's going to continue to be crappy.
We blame it on typesetting, production problems. It wasn't the way I had originally turned it in.
It wasn't the way I wrote it.
I can't believe they changed that word to the incorrect word.
I had it right.
It's unbelievable. So, well, congratulations again to you for all your success and all the things you've accomplished, things you're going to continue to accomplish. Is there one thing, I may have talked about this earlier, maybe I have, but is there one key thing you've learned in 20 years that you weren't aware of? Something you've learned from doing it, from getting feedback, from reactions, whatever?
I've learned to really respect people's views, even if I don't agree with them. And like I said, when I wrote the column Plymouth Croc about Thanksgiving and the Pilgrims, I had some people who were really, they were calling to get me fired. They were calling the editors to get me fired. And, you know, you can't reason with people like that. But I could respect, you know, it's hard when your illusions are shattered. It's a kind of a, and that I'm sure they just still don't believe anything I wrote. But I think I've learned to give value to any feedback, whether it's hurtful, whether it's praise, not to let the praise go to my head, because it's a small column in a small paper in a small state in a small world. So, you know, putting things in perspective. And
I'm trying to get you published on Jupiter. That will help.
I'd probably have more readership there.
Much bigger.
And so just respecting other people's opinions, I think, has become really important to me, that I can disagree with them without being disagreeable. And I respond to everybody who writes to me, no matter what their tone is. I appreciate them. I say, thank you for reading. I appreciate your feedback. Those are things I hadn't considered. And maybe sometimes that's true. And it makes me be more conscious of who's reading.
I think I'm going to use an analogy here. Close out my little comments here with regards to what you do. And that's probably the PC police calling me now. Just kidding. So you mentioned food for thought, and I like that. For those of you who don't know Perry and me personally, Perry is a very healthy person. She eats very healthy foods, exercises regularly, goes to the gym.
I do that. I don't know about the eating part.
Well, you eat very healthy.
I do. No, I just eat a lot. That's different.
I'm opposed to vegetables. I think there's a reason that they're growing out in the wild. And, you know, now I said that because food for thought is what you give people with your columns, with your teachings and everything, just like you give me vegetables on my plate.
I don't anymore.
Well, thank you. But even if I don't eat the vegetables at times, the fact of the matter is they're if I could. You give people an option. And I think that's the value of food for thought. And you're very good about doing that. People don't have to agree with your thoughts.
Right.
But you at least put them out there. And at the end of the day, it's your microphone, not theirs.
Yeah.
Just like in here.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, I think we should all just need to kind of chill a little bit. We've become so defensive about everything. everything becomes a hot button topic. Everything becomes inflammatory. And it's just, that's not how things ever get solved. You can't solve it by burning down the house.
Well, thank you for giving me my life with your laughter.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Thanks for letting me do this.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. Since you've had a big life change recently.
Yes.
So you have semi-retired. I don't know if you like that term or not.
I actually do.
You're getting used to it.
Yeah.
You've semi-retired and you're doing a lot of things at home now. What has been the hardest adjustment for you? Not working a full-time job, not going to the office every day.
I think that, you know, we become creatures of habit, and for many decades, I won't talk about how many,
many decades,
you know, I got up, I went to work. I was in an office for 7, 8, 9, 10 hours sometimes in the field, but there was an obligation to do it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It became very habitual. The problem with that is when you get into those habits, and I understand why this is a difficult adjustment for people who, when they retire, breaking that chain. The problem with that is that you become so focused and centered that you don't have a chance to look around you. You don't see the other things that are out there. So slowly over the last few weeks, I've begun to evolve into realizing that there's more out there than just a time clock, which I never really literally had to punch, not my era anymore. But, you know, feeling like you have to do the same thing all the time. As a friend of mine said a long time ago, it was a woman I knew from Alabama, didn't speak properly, but she says, when you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. And the point is, people who fail to see what's around them for different reasons, they miss out on things. The biggest adjustment is not having to go to an office every day, although every morning, as you and I both know, I go to my office in the home.
You do.
Turn on my computer and start working. But it's under my terms, my hours. If I want to take the dog for a walk or go hit golf balls or something, I'll do that. That's the beauty of it. It's just the adjustment of changing gears.
And I know it's been hard for you to be still, to not have things to do. You feel like you have to be busy all the time.
It's true.
And that was like our very first episode was to talk about, you know, the trap of busyness, that we have this idea that we have to be busy all the time to be valuable. And watching you change, I don't know if you've changed your mindset, but you're kind of wrapping your mind around that idea that you don't have to work all the time to add value to this world. Do you see yourself softening around that?
I do, because I think when I do work, I'm more focused on specific tasks. It's different. For those of you who are listening who are retired, I understand it's a huge adjustment. I'm glad I am still doing some work, because if I had nothing else to do all day but then sit around, I love to read. I love to work in my yard, which I can only do 5 months of the year here in Utah, pretty much. I do like, you know, certain athletic events. I like to play tennis. I like to play golf. I'm not much of an athlete. I do like to take walks. You and I have gone on lots of hikes, which I've enjoyed. But again, you can't do that on a regular basis. So it's nice to have some things to be focused on. But the nice thing is now I'm focusing on things that are maybe more of interest to me. I'm doing it because I think it's helping me convey the message or accomplish something I want to do, not necessarily the expectation of a superior at work. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I think we should all include that in our lives, the idea that you are on your own time and learning how to be calm with yourself and steady with yourself and not pushing yourself so hard. It's been fun to watch you. I'm not sure if you're learning how to relax, but I think you're attempting to learn how to relax, which has been pretty. It's a fascinating experiment.
Thank you. And I found out that Diet Coke and Hershey's chocolate helps a lot too. So.
As does wine. lots of wine.
Thank you for having me
do this. Thank you for being on the show for my 104th episode. I appreciate your support all the time. Love you so much.
Love you too.
Thank you for being here. And thank you for listening, everyone. You don't know how much I appreciate your constant support, your kind words, the shares, the follows, the likes. Keep it up. I'm here for as long as you'll listen. Love you all. Have a great day. To continue your journey toward love and connection, follow me at Life and Laughter Coaching on Instagram and Facebook.